Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
How can I work? How can I get paid? How can I take care of my kids?
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
That never gets old, man.
It doesn't. We are Dukes and Bell, guys, down here at the Gulch, getting ready for Atlanta United tonight. Talking plenty of football, though. All right, Mike, 4 o'clock. It's on. It's official. All of those deals that we've been talking about become official as of right now, including the deals the Falcons have made, guys, with two offensive guards, Jamon Brown and James Carpenter. Again, when we talk about the terms, and over the last 3 days or so, we've been talking a lot about agreed to terms. That's the phrase we use, simply because it doesn't become official until right now.
Right, and then that means we are going to see if Vic Beasley could get double-digit sacks under Dan Quinn's tutelage. Dan Quinn has said he's either going to love it or he's going to hate it.
Hate him.
But either way, they're going to get more out of 44. And if you missed the show yesterday, I made that proclamation, and you were nice enough to cut up a promo over. Very good, Carl.
Listen, I want to make sure there is there's actually audio on this.
If Vic Beasley has double-digit sacks, that means we're in the playoffs. Would you agree with me?
Woo.
Does that mean if I'm going to have to get a permanent Vic Beasley tattoo on my tuchus if he gets 10 or more sacks, are we going to get some out of this? Because if Tack, and again, if we don't know where Tack's game is going to go. We may go and get one of those elite defensive tackles that everybody's heard so much about in these mock NFL drafts. So if we get one of those guys and our D-line is that much better, then we should be getting teams off the field. And if these guys we just signed are doing a decent job, then we're hoping to be able to, you know, finish games off the way we weren't last year. Two or three games, you know, pick your poison, Carl. The Bengals, the Saints, the Cowboys win two of those three, and we're in the playoffs last year.
Here's what's crazy, to answer your question, and we're going to go on the sidelines with the dogs in a minute, talk some college football. And the big story today in regards to college is Kyler Murray, right, which we'll talk about. If I would have told you in 2016 that Julio was going to have 6 touchdowns but we're going to Super Bowl, would you have believed it?
No, not in a million years.
I wouldn't have either. So when you say if he has 10 or more sacks, are we in the playoffs? I would like to believe that's the case. But
it means the defense should be better.
Better. It should be. It probably means we're getting pressure and he's getting opportunities maybe he hasn't had. But I don't know. That's one of those crazy things that Vic Beasley could actually ball out. And you've seen this, guys. Have a great year, but that doesn't necessarily mean our team is in the playoffs. There's so many other things that have to go right. I'm with you, though, on this. I think on both sides, we're talking about Tack McKinley, we're talking about Vic Beasley, because those guys are here. I don't know who we're going to draft and who's going to be here, you know, 3 or 4 weeks from now. But as far as the guys that are here, I'm with you. There has to be an expectation as fans. We can't sit back and be like, well, it's another learning year for Tack. No, it's not.
No, it's go time.
It's go time. It is absolutely go time. And so for these guys, they have to know that the mark and the bar has been set. And for Vic, let's be honest. You know, say what you want. It's a contract year. This is a contract year. If he balls out, Mike, he's going to be rewarded with a big fat contract.
That's the other thing. If it goes and does, you know, the great Atlanta tradition of Sam Baker or Javi Lopez or anybody, pick your sport, you know, or the guy who goes out and does the job, he might be not on the team next year because he might become too cost prohibitive. How are you going to afford? We just heard, if you missed it, guys, from our cap expert, Joel Corey, you're going to have to pay huge money for Debo. Keanu, you can pick up or you can hit up the franchise tag.
Yes.
You know, you've got options with him. He's on his fifth-year option. So you're picking up the fifth year on Keanu.
Because he's a first-round pick.
But that will still be expensive. And then, of course, Debo, you're going to try to negotiate with or get a long-term deal, otherwise franchise tag. We've got a lot of money out there to spend. And the only big hope we have is, Carl, and this is why I know you get on me all the time about the offensive line. Sooner or later, you've got to have to draft an offensive lineman that can start for you for a couple of years that saves you from having to go do what we had to do 3 of the last 4, which is go get guys and spend the money we just did on the Carpenter and Brown.
Yeah, understand this premise. We're not spending – first of all, Matt Ryan's not being asked to take money and move it around, okay? If we
– What's up, man?
If we had drafted a couple of offensive linemen that were working for us now – we're also not going out and spending $7 million on 2 guys right now. That money could have been allocated somewhere else. If we had drafted and had a couple of guys, to Mike's point, that were already working under the rookie cap and that were playing for us. But that's not the case. So we've had to come and try to fill in the blanks. I'm going to say this about our Falcons, and this is every NFL team. I am not concerned about what it's going to take in the future simply because you've got to make tough decisions. Every team, every year, and you've seen it right now over the last couple of weeks, they have to make decisions on who they want to keep and who they want to let go. Now, I'm not telling you I want to let go of Debo or Keanu Neal, but, Mike, these are the decisions. I will tell you this. They're going to have to make a decision on who they're going to have to keep in linebacker. You keeping Devondre Campbell because you're going to pay him and pay Debo?
Well, that's just it.
That's the tough decision.
That's where the hard decisions are going to come, man.
So, you know, I think that's what you have to look at when you say what's going to happen 2 years from now when these guys become available for their big-time payday. They, if they're still performing, more likely they'll be here. But at the end of the day, every team's got to make really tough decisions. Hey, if you're just joining us, guys, we're down here at the Gulch as we talked about Atlanta United taking on Monterey. More about the match coming up. And for those who missed Joel Corey, he was so informative. We're going to replay that for you at 5:20 as part of our big story because today free agency has officially begun and there are a lot of guys who are not signed, but Joel really helped us understand from a Falcon perspective and around the league with Le'Veon Brown, Bell and also Odell Beckham, their contracts.
Right, because at the end of the day, Le'Veon Bell, you got nothing. What did Willie Wonka say? You win nothing! Yeah, at the end of the day, Earl Thomas makes about the same money on his deal after playing, by the way, and getting injured.
It's crazy.
As opposed to Le'Veon Bell sitting out and missing out on a salary, I should say a franchise tag, $14.5 million.
All right, man. You can text us, 404-741-0929. I know a lot of Falcon fans were hitting me up last night in regards to the deals with the guards and whether these guys can play. And, again, this is considered to be an upgrade from where we were, and you don't go out and sign two guards at this salary, these salaries, and to not feel that way if you're the Falcons. You can also find us on Twitter. It's Dukes and Bell 929. That's the show Twitter page. And, of course, Mike is at Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes and this radio show 929. Guys, follow the radio station. With that, let's go on the sidelines with the dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Now, you know, we talk college football, college basketball, because the conference tournaments are going on right now. College sports in general every day, and it's brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
Yeah, man, brightboxelectrical.com, 770-901-2500 for that ultimate man cave you've always wanted. Maybe a ceiling fan, track lighting done the right way. That and so much more. Call Brightbox today, 770-901-2500.
All right, today Kyler Murray had his pro day. Many of you may have even watched it. You'll see some highlights. I've been saying this since he said he was going to play football full time. He's going to be the first quarterback taken. Then you add into the equation that a guy that absolutely loved him and couldn't convince him to come play at Texas Tech, Cliff Kingsbury, is now the head coach with the Arizona Cardinals. They have the number one pick. Now, Kingsbury apparently was not at the pro day today, but they had scouts there. Mike, I'm going to read a couple of comments from guys that I trust. Bucky Brooks, Kyler Murray's pro day has been impressive to watch. He has an A-plus arm talent, an easy thrower. He can make a wide range of throws to every area of the field. His touch, his timing, anticipation, his throws, feathery touch. Plus, he's an A-plus athlete. Then I move on to Gil Brandt, who's been doing this forever. He goes, Kyler Murray was impressive and accurate today. 61 of 67 passes, one drop. He threw deep. He threw across the middle. He's got all the throws. These are from experts that watch the game and have scouted guys all the time and every year. Here's what I'm telling you guys. For all the people who are caught up in the size thing, Kyler Murray's ability is shining. And, Mike, he didn't throw at the combine, but this is what everybody's been waiting for. If you're not afraid of the 5'10 thing.
Well, I mean, to me, the 5'10, the height thing, that's, you know, typical general managers overthinking it. And, again, they literally are saying he stretched himself out on a rack. He was hanging upside down like a bat. He did spinal decompression to get to 5'10". He also took off all that weight they're saying. I just read a report that said he looked about 10 to 15 pounds lighter than he was at the combine. So either way, the one thing I find most interesting, though, about this is, you know who wasn't at his workout? There's a number of NFL representatives. The guys that weren't there from the Arizona Cardinals. NFL insider Ian Rappaport saying that Steve Kime, the general manager, Cliff Kingsbury, will not be attending the workout. So haven't seen anything that says that they were there.
They weren't there.
But that means that, well, is that a smoke signal?
No.
Is that mixed signal?
No, listen, I think if you show up and you're the Cardinals, everybody gets overly excited. Every other NFL team that's interested in a quarterback was there, but they had guys there. Don't think for a second that film's not going to be in Cliff Kingsbury's office, right. And he's not going to be able to review it.
All you have to do is look at the games, pick any games you want against Texas, against West Virginia, watch this guy make all the throws you need to make in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm not surprised about that, and I'm not, you know, again, I'm not thinking that's a bad thing, but Kyler Murray did say that he has, quote, confidence in his ability after today, talking about his pro day. Bottom line is he was impressive. Now, what's that mean? we've seen other quarterbacks, whether it be at the combine or, for that matter, at their pro day, not impress. And we've heard this. Oh, he didn't look good. Oh, he didn't make this throw. The windows in the NFL get smaller. Those throws you make in college are a lot easier than they are in the National Football League. So Mike, arm strength is a big deal. He's a small guy, so people automatically assume that he might not be able to make all of these throws. Again, I guess they didn't watch Oklahoma this season.
No, I mean, like I said, Drew Lock, what's the big moment where you say, wow, Drew Lock is a difference maker? Drew Lock's a guy that can – look, he's got all the measurables. And I guess you could make the same argument about Mitchell Trubisky and why some teams like the Bears would have Trubisky rated higher than Deshaun Watson, who not only won national championships, he did everything. You know, but in the case of the NFL, they always have their preconceptions about this. They say that, you know, Drew Lock, there's going to be a team that's going to take him before we select. And that's all I care about. I don't care who gets him. I don't care where Dwayne Haskins goes. As long as those three quarterbacks are picked and we've got a nice variety of defensive tackles to select from when we go at 14.
Yeah, again, Cardinals, Giants, Redskins still maybe in the market for a quarterback. All those teams pick before we do. We'll see. I think those guys we're talking about, you know, the Cleveland Farrells and the Lawrences and the, you know, the Ed Olivers of the world, all those guys are going to be there if you want to go that route. Montez Sweat, I think all those guys will be there between 10 and 16.
Now, I don't know if we had some representatives up in Wisconsin. They generally put big guys in the offensive line. We missed, obviously, on Peter Kahns a couple of years ago. The Georgia Tech Pro Day, I know that Dan Quinn was out there.
Sure was.
Certainly, Jeff Collins. By the way, hats off to Jeff Collins. It's a really funny, if you hadn't seen this, I guess is it Roddy Jones plays Morpheus? They did, like, their own version of The Matrix when they're doing their little Waffle House tour. You can go to Georgia Tech's athletics, I believe, and you can find the retweet of it. It's pretty funny stuff. But, yeah, man, the idea that Georgia Tech, and especially moving forward under Collins, putting guys in the NFL, but there's certainly some guys on the defensive side. I know that if you feel, Carl, with that offense, what does that translate specifically to an NFL position? Not necessarily, but any great athlete's a great athlete. You might not get drafted, though. You're just going to be like an invitee as a free agent.
Yeah, listen, I think as Tech moves along and some of the things that they do, whether it be offensively especially, you know, they just haven't had the defensive studs that they've had in years past, but it's going to translate to the NFL, and you're going to see more Georgia Tech guys going to the league. But the year, Mike, that they go to the Orange Bowl, right, and Shaq Mason is on that offensive line, Shaq's been a dog for the Patriots. They draft him, and he's been very good in the NFL. They don't run zone blocking scheme or, for that matter, option. So, yeah, I think some of it translates, some of it doesn't. Hey, guys, it is our On the Sideline Report brought to you by Brightbox.
Brightbox Electrical Man, 770-901-2500. If you guys are looking for the best when it comes to home security, home monitoring, man caves, call Brightbox. D-Led did say that Henri Saint-Amour, suffered a hamstring injury during his 40.
Yeah.
Couldn't go for Georgia Tech. Jalen Johnson, Taquan Marshall in the group trying out different positions. It's just to our point that it might not translate to what you did at Georgia Tech, but it may translate to the next level.
All right, man. I'm curious to see. I can't wait for the draft. I mean, honestly, it's one of my favorite times of year to see how teams take a chance, maybe, you know, reach in some cases or maybe get the right guy. But everybody was waiting to see Kyler Murray throw. Today he did, and that's kind of the big deal around college football. Now, there are other pro days going on, obviously, and we'll get you caught up as more information comes in about various guys that we're watching for. But for quarterbacks, it's much more important, I think, than any other position, Mike, because you can do the things that they did at the combine, whether you're lifting, shuttle run, and all that stuff, vertical jump. You can do all that stuff. For the big guys, that's what it's really about.
Well, big thing certainly is for Georgia guys to improve on what they did. As we heard, every scout we spoke with, everybody who evaluates talent said that, Isaac Nata or Isaiah Holyfield really helped their case. So hopefully they'll do a better job when they get all the scouts out there in Athens.
All right, man, if you're just joining us, Falcons do release Ryan Schrader today, offensive tackle. If you're not familiar, the Falcons, again, made a decision to save more money. It's going to save them $3.95 million in cap space. Mike and I talked about this when they made the decision to sign Ty Sambrello to a three-year extension worth $18 million. We said this doesn't make sense when you've paid Schrader what you paid him. And then yesterday, as we find out, they pick up Jamon Brown and James Carpenter, two guards. It just didn't make financial sense to hold on to Ryan Schrader. So, Mike, he's been released by the Falcons.
Yeah, the guy, unfortunately, dude, after getting that money, he could not earn the faith of Dan Quinn and the coaching staff the final three games. If anything, it helps Ty Sambrello get that gig. You're paying Ty Sambrello to be a tackle. These guys we picked up are guards. Now, yes, you could argue that the size-wise they could cross-train to play tackle, but these guys are signed to help Alex Mack in the middle. So it's going to be Matthews on one side, Sambrello on the other, unless there's another move to be made here as we've created some more cap space with that $3 million off the books from Schrader.
Hey, man, quick reminder, we're in the Gulch, guys, and coming down, maybe you're going to enjoy United tonight. Also, the Hawks in action taking on Memphis. That game's on 92.9 The Game. The Atlanta United match will be on Star 94, pregame starting at 7:30. And soccer fans, join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at Carriage Kia in Woodstock from noon to 2 next Saturday for a meet and greet with Atlanta soccer stars Michael Parkhurst and Jeff Lorenowitz. Plus, Mike Conte and Jason Longshore will be broadcasting live, taking all things and talking all things soccer, as well as taking on all things soccer. Stop by for a chance to win some cool prizes, including an autographed Michael Parkhurst jersey. Hey, when we come back, they had a meeting. What came of it, and what happens tonight with Atlanta United? We'll talk about it next. Quick reminder, guys, you want a pair of tickets to go see Travis Scott live in concert at State Farm Arena? He'll be here on March 22nd. Don't miss seeing the Travis Scott Astroworld Wish You Were Here tour. Travis Scott tickets are currently available at LiveNation.com. We'll give you a chance to win a couple of tickets here on Dukes and Bell a little bit later. Hey, before we get to the Frank DeBoer meeting with his squad and Atlanta United, let's talk about our other squad, man. Chop on. What about our Bravos?
Well, you know, Ronald Acuna, waiting to see him really get things cranked up. And after, you know, a kind of hit or miss start, he's on a tear. Our buddy Dave O'Brien from The Athletic saying Acuna is on one of those torrid Acuna stretches. He goes 3-for-3 today against Corbin, the big free agent signing for the Nationals.
Yeah.
3-for-3 with a double, a triple, a single, and two RBIs. And he's now 8-for-8 with two home runs, two doubles, a triple, and six RBIs in his last 9 plate appearances. That's insane.
Acuna for life!
And again, it's Corbin, not some guy that's going to be wearing number 99 and getting optioned to AAA. He's doing this against big league pitching.
Yeah, I just think what you saw last year, for everybody who may have thought, I don't know, he's not as good as we saw. I don't know what you might have been thinking. This kid is the real deal. And, Mike, again, spring training, big pitcher, means nothing. I said this. Get your cuts in, work your arm out, work on your stuff. But it's good to see him getting contact and making, you know, getting on base and making plays already before we head back to Atlanta and get the season started. So, listen, I love what Acuna brings to our club. We've got a legitimate superstar. And I've said this. He's going to end up being a 30-30 guy, potentially a 40-40 guy at some point. He's that talented. And to see him doing this where his last 9 plate appearances have been, you know, home run, walk, he's getting on. I just love it. I love watching this young fella.
And the dude, guys, for people who are like, oh, is he really a power? Yeah, he's a power hitter. Remember,
yes,
he didn't get the full season. You remember he also had that the situation where he tripped on the bag at first base in Boston? He missed some games there. You know, give this guy 150, 155 games, and let's see him get the 30 home runs to Carl's point. In case you're wondering what else was going down today, you had the Braves throwing out our man Austin Riley. We talked about this yesterday with Alex Anthopoulos. Austin Riley getting a chance to show he could maybe contribute in the outfield because we got Donaldson at third base. But he goes a 1-for-4 today. Duval goes 0-for-3. You had Camargo out there as well. He takes an 0-for. But Albies goes 2-for-3. We already told you about the monster day for Ronald Acuna. And Christian Pache comes in and goes 1-for-2 as well.
Yeah, now remember, our lineup, as at least what Snicker said, and I think he'll toy with it and play with it, but you'll have Acuna leading off. Donaldson's going to hit in the 2-hole. And then you're going to have Freeman, right? And the whole gist there is you're not pitching around Donaldson or Acuna. And if you are, you're putting them on base for Freddie, which makes no sense for most teams. So I love our 1, 2, and 3. I don't know if he's going to hit Markakis clean up or not, but that's what it's going to look like, at least at the top of the lineup.
We did get a lot of optimism from Alex Anthopoulos yesterday, talking about you know, what this Braves pitching staff is going to look like. Well, not a good day for the ball team against the Nationals. Gausman, 2 hits, 3 earned runs, 1 strikeout and 2/3. Max Fried with an earned run. Winkler, not bad. Sabatka, my boy struggling. 2 hits, 2 earned runs, and a strikeout. So they fall to the Nats 8-4. But as we said, the big story is Ronald Acuna really seeing the ball very well.
I'm loving that. Now, I'm hoping that our team passes the ball well and takes more shots on goal tonight as we transition from the Braves to Atlanta United. Frank DeBoer had a meeting, and we talked a little bit about this earlier in the show. Falcon Report is on the way, guys, and you'll also hear from Joel Corey, who is a cap expert, a little bit later on around 5:20 as part of our big story as he lays out the cap numbers for our Falcons and maybe the future deals that we're looking at with Grady Jarrett and also Julio Jones. But, Mike, this Frank DeBoer meeting, how many meetings, you know, can you potentially have? Now, I know I think this one was certainly needed,
right,
coming off of the performance and what we've been seeing. But he said he spoke with the players. that he got some positive stuff out of this potential meeting that they had, and he told the media that.
Well, as we said, guys, you can't have that sort of, you know, come to Jesus meeting. And for those who don't get the reference, for younger listeners, you know, the big let's clear the air and let's leave nothing, you know, out. Let's get it all out there. I know that you heard Brad Guzan basically said he was, you know, we know who the leaders are on this squad, and Parker's is your captain. So the guy's talking about what we have to do. Look, you can talk all you want. We can complain all we want about not getting the ball to this guy or that guy. When they're getting the ball, no one's doing anything. It's just bad. Let's be honest, bad execution. You know, they're not playing well. Brad Guzan said, let's call what it is. So the good news is they're getting ahead of it. But you can't have these kind of meetings every couple of weeks, because obviously then it gets to the point where no one's paying attention.
Right.
And it falls on deaf ears. And that goes for any sport.
Any sport. The possessions are nice, but we got to take some chances. Hopefully we do that tonight.
No, I mean, I hope there's a give and take with the players. Now, I don't know. We all have this impression, because Frank is Dutch and he kind of talks like the Terminator, that he's going to sit there and go, my way or the highway. No, I can't say that necessarily. We do know that we've struggled. Aesthetically, it's not even remotely close to what we were doing last year. Carl and Darren knows that. But just look at it this way, guys, big picture. All those games, what did Squid Billy break it down to? We're playing a game every 3 days?
Yeah.
Can we just get through this today without getting humiliated by Monterey, beat Philadelphia, and then we got 2 weeks to get our heads right?
And hopefully that's the plan.
And hopefully we do well tonight. We use that as a confidence booster.
Yeah. Listen, if you're wondering, you know, we're trying to overcome a big deficit in these quarterfinals. And I just think, you know, you got to come out tonight. And it's not panic mode, because you get where we're at. But, Mike, you just come out and play. And let's stop making excuses about what's not happening and formations and all that. I just want to see 11 guys go out and play. Frank, sub as you need to sub.
Right.
And let's see what happens tonight. I've been stressed and pressing about all this stuff that we've been all caught up in as United fans. Oh, they're not doing this. Oh, why's he not got this guy in? You know what? At the end of the day, Brad Guzan is right. Go make some plays.
Hey, by the way, I want to give a shout-out before I forget. Thanks to Matt and everybody at Atlanta United. Okay, we usually make fun of those rich people, Carl, sitting in those fancy suites. Got sweet seats here tonight on the floor.
Yeah,
right,
man.
There on the field, as they say.
Well,
listen. Thanks to Matt from United for hooking us up. So I did give my tickets to Mike the bartender, so there will be somebody in 208.
Okay.
You're not going to have empty seats, but I get to see that field perspective tonight, man.
Yeah, and listen, Matt does a great job with Atlanta United. I think this speaks bigger to the organization as to how they've embraced Dukes and Bell. And if you haven't embraced Dukes and Bell, there's something wrong. That's what this is. I mean,
what the names that mean goodness. Do you not want to be aligned with goodness?
You should be. But Matt Moore, thank you so much. But Atlanta United has been that with us. And we said this, they're great partners. We want to be great partners with all of our teams. Embrace Dukes and Bell.
Like to knock in the golden spike one day. But anyway, thanks to Matt. So, yeah, we're looking forward to seeing that. And, again, a lot of the guys we're talking to, a lot of the fans here hanging out, a lot of guys are, you know, kind of, you know, up in the air about what this is going to be tonight. You know, you were so close, Carl, to leaving Monterey up 1-0. And then you could come back and actually you really feel good about knocking off one of the super teams in North America. Unfortunately, you just folded. You lost your composure. That third goal was a killer. So, I mean, now, yes, it's a Herculean task, as Mike Conte laid out earlier, but let's hope there's some positives we can build on.
By the way, Frank DeBoer did say the 3-4-3 formation will not change. That doesn't mean it won't change down the road. But right now, there's just not enough time for them to do what he wants to do and implementing some other things. So, again, I'm not caught up in that, but he says with 2 days between Sunday's draw with Cincinnati and Wednesday's game, you know, that would be panicking, and we're not panicking.
No, look, you got to see it through. You just got to hope that at some point they get things figured out. Because, look, Pitty is here to use those skill sets, different skill sets from Miggy. But you've got to put the guy in a position to use them. And Barco's got to be better. Like, everybody's got to be better. There's not one guy, I think, other than maybe Julian Gressel and Joseph, when he finally gets the ball, he'll put it in the net.
Yeah.
But how many guys can look in the mirror, Miles Robinson maybe one of them, and say, hey, I've been doing my job so far this season?
All right, guys, you can text us 404-741-0929. Listen, last year was last year, and I said this, you know, to score 70 goals in 34 games in each of the past two seasons, that's what the standard is, and that's why we're so like, what's going on? It's going to get better. Hopefully it starts tonight.
Now, here's the thing. You know, Dukes and Bell, what do the kids say? Keep it 100?
Keep it 100.
We've always tried to keep it 100 with you. If we continue to look this lethargic on offense,
yes,
and as we come back from the break, after we have the international break, after the Philadelphia game, well, then we are going to be, as what did Godfather say when he had the big meeting? Then I'm going to blame some people in this room.
Well, you got to start pointing the fingers.
Yeah, you're going to start getting a little more intense, because we've all rationalized this sloppy start because of all the matches we've had to play in a three-week period.
I am concerned. I continue to be concerned. You should be too, but I'm not panicking, and I'm not running down the street, you know, with my hair on fire, going, oh, Atlanta United, they're not going to do that. I'm not doing that.
Be good for the ratings.
Okay, maybe I will.
Do that, man. You could have
a streak. But I tell you what, if we keep losing, I will do that.
Right.
All right?
Hey, man, the gangs are all hanging out here. We got a bunch of dudes. Esperanza's down here, man. You know, the Spanish dude's got the food and the music. You smell some of that goodness?
Of course I do.
We got to go raid that tailgate, man.
What they got going on down there?
I see empanadas.
Craig, are you back in the studio? You think they're having carne asada over there?
So you just want to talk about food while I'm stuck here in the studio. Thanks, man.
No, all I'm saying is the dudes, our brothers, our hombres over here in Esperanza, they got a lot of, I mean, the food smells great and looks good.
Yeah, man. Now you got me. Hey, I'll be back.
I'm going to go trade a Hey Man and see if I can get me some empanadas.
What, Bo? I was going to run over there.
Hey, man. Oh, by the way, if you're coming down here, if you just...
I already did.
If you're just rolling down to the Gulch, it's Lot A. We're down here with it's Faction. We got all the other knuckleheads who are down here having a good time. But we are right next to the Port-A-John. So we've got a fantastic vantage point right behind the railroad tracks. So come for a pee and stay for the
Terminus
radio
Legion.
Show. Terminus Legion as well. That's the guys right to our right. So come on down and join the party.
All right, guys. Coming up, yeah, man, no man. We've got some questions to answer. 5 o'clock, Falcon Report. And today it is all about the guys we signed and what it could mean for our team. You'll hear Joe Corey's comments about some of the deals that have gone down. Today is officially free agency. 4 o'clock, we said it. A lot of those deals you heard about became official. And Odell Beckham and Le'Veon Bell, the deals last night, Mike.
Oof. And by the way, Le'Veon Bell, I mean, all that hype, all that nonsense sitting out. You'll hear from Joel Corey that at the end of the day, he basically gets the same contract as Earl Thomas. The Ravens also major players. Would you agree as we go to break? It's the craziest offseason we've seen ever.
As far as movement, yes. I just think the dynamics in the NFL have certainly changed. I've never seen this many trades and things going on along with free agent signings at the same time. Hey, we'll come back. Yeah, man, no man. We're live in the Gulch, guys. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
And for Yeah, Man, No Man on Dukes and Bell. We provide answers to several rapid-fire questions for the world of sports and entertainment. It's sometimes a surprise question. Here's today's question number one.
All right, it's time for Yeah, Man, No Man. What's that? I'm sorry, what's that?
We got a lovely United fan here,
yes.
Very, very attractive young lady, and her husband has left her alone with these mutants, and he's down at Bike Week in Daytona.
Oh, he's having a good time. What's up, man?
Yeah, we're talking about you on the radio, man. I can't
right now.
Going to go down there and hang at Ocean Deck with a bunch of mutants, and you could be here with your beautiful wife. Unbelievable.
I love Bike Week, though. Have a good time down there, man.
Hey, who's that good-looking Argentine guy hitting on this girl?
I have no idea. Hey. See you later. Hey, it is Dukes and Bell. We're live at the Gulch, guys, and we're down here having a good time. Obviously, if you're coming down, stop by, say hello. We've got the Falcon Report on the way. Mike just looked at me, and we kind of laughed because we were keeping our fingers crossed. Listen, it was a pipe dream. Once they came out and said, hey, we're keeping him, and Dan Quinn came out and gave the testimony, Mike, about how he was going to make him better.
Right.
We knew this was a possibility. But today, also at 4 o'clock, just so you guys know, Vic Beasley's contract became guaranteed.
Yeah. Vic Beasley guaranteed for $12.8 million. Schrader's contract comes off the book on June 1st. A guy's been helping us with the numbers. Our executive producer, Bo Morgan. Here's Squid Billy with some Yeah Man, No Man. There you go.
All right, well, we're going to start with a little patented device. So Toyota has recently filed for a patent for an automatic air freshener that would link to your phone and fill your car with your favorite little scent while you're driving. But what if I told you there's more? So the other part of this patent that's been filed that they were reading about is it serves as a double anti-theft device. So if someone would go to steal your car,
right,
it would automatically spray them with tear gas.
Nice. Now, again, as long as the software works and you're not going to get tear gas instead of new car smell
correct
on you when you get in the car, sounds great.
Well, what if you, I don't know, lock your keys in your car, which I know is somewhat impossible these days.
Right, right, right.
But what if you do lock your keys in your car or something along those lines and you have to break in? Are you going to get sprayed with tear gas?
It's a great question. Listen, I love all these futuristic devices. Mm-hmm. The problem is, like what Mike said, it's the technology if, in fact, it works the way it's supposed to. So when is this supposed to happen? Is this something they're offering?
It's not going to be in cars anytime soon. It's something that they have just patented so they can keep it and they can perfect it before
okay
they put it out, because one of the things that they don't want to do is said roll it out and then it be triggered accidentally while you were driving, and then like Mike said, the tear gas just – you have an air freshener and all of a sudden you tear gas yourself and – you know, you cause some kind of bad accident.
I've always wanted one of those, like, Aston Martin, James Bond type cars.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
the devices, the buttons.
Know, oil, smoke, machine guns out of the, you know, the headlights, all that stuff. But, I mean, yes, the worry about tear gas yourself, I don't know about that one.
What's the question, Bo?
Well, the question, yeah, man, no, man, having a car with an anti-theft device that produces tear gas.
Well,
yeah. I mean, what about skunk spray? It just smells so bad you get out of the car.
Get out of the
car. Same effect. I just, you know, I mean, either way. Just don't ruin the leather.
Listen, I think we've come a long way. Protected by Viper, stand back. We've come a long way, okay,
with alarms. When you were a kid, or when you were growing up and you started driving, did you have the what the hell was the device? The club. Use the club.
The club. Yeah,
you put that on your steering wheel. Everybody in the 90s,
yeah.
If you lived in New York City or Miami, you had to have the club on your car.
Here was what was funny. I had a buddy who had the club. They left the club on his car and stole his stereo. So having the club meant nothing back in the day.
They would saw through your steering wheel, by the way, if you had a cheap imported car. But, yeah, man. And then, of course, the remember the cassette decks or CD players with a removable face?
Yeah.
So you'd be in the club with a face in your jacket.
Absolutely. Because everybody was trying to protect the what kind of brand they had in their car. It was just like a – it looked like a factory model.
I'm actually old enough to remember that. I used to do that in high school, the Mustang that I drove. Did you guys ever watch that ridiculous National Lampoon Vacation? Remember the Chevy Chase and everything? Remember when they did you watch the reboot that they did a couple years ago with Christine Applegate?
No.
Well, he had a rental car, and basically you would push buttons and different things on the car would explode. Like one time he had a button and the car just started spinning. So that's kind of what this tear gas reminds me of.
I would tell you, yeah, man, if in fact it was perfected. But I think this is where we're going. Listen. In the future, you're not going to be able to steal cars because it's going to be retina scans and fingerprints. And it's all going to be connected to your vehicle, like your bank accounts. You're not going to be able to do it unless you have my fingerprint or my eyes. So that's where we're going, but I'm all for this. I'd say, yeah, man.
All right. Well, we're going to keep on the new invention here. As Del Taco has created a new soap.
Time out. Love Del Taco, by the way.
Big time.
Fresh. Go ahead.
I'm a big Del Taco. By the way, Del Taco, you need to move up to Town Lake in Woodstock so I can get one of those.
Del Taco has French fries, too.
Oh,
right?
They're great.
Well, that's funny that you should
mention that.
Because
you want Mexican, you want
French
fries.
What's the damn question?
This one wasn't me, by the way. They do have French fries, Craig.
Studio.
Craig's just mad because he's hungry. Well, I'm going to keep you hungry because since they have French fries, they have a soap now that smells like French fries.
Del Taco French fry soap, Carl. Yeah, man, no, man.
Is that the question?
That is the question, actually.
Yeah, man. I'm going to say yeah, man. Listen, I'm a French fry guy. Anything French fries. How can you not like French fries? Who doesn't like French fries?
Years ago in Germany, they had a soap that was scented like bacon. So, yes, I'm down with that. I'll roll that. Yes,
French fries, yes.
It's not about liking French fries. It's about having your hands constantly smell like French fries
that
you're going to eat constantly, by the way.
I'm just saying, if
you want to
like
walk
French
in
fries,
smell like French fries?
Yeah, but you know what? Some of these smells they have, Mike, I mean, you go to some of these stores and they have these erotic smells, these exotic smells. You're like, what is this?
Well, maybe your partner, your wife, is turned out by fast food. You want your undercarriage to smell like a French fries?
You know what?
Go.
Hey, however it happens, Mike, however it happens.
Yeah, one guy comes and smells like Tommy Hilfiger. Well, that guy smelled like French fries.
I would say, yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
It is Yeah, Man, No, Man with Bo Morgan. Hey, it's Dukes and Bell. We're live down here at the Gulch. We'll get to the Falcon Report. Big story on the way as well and more on Atlanta United.
All right, so this 21-year-old girl was in Target in California, and she's shopping. So she picked up some items, $200 worth of stuff, by the way, including a six-pack of beer. Now, I don't believe it was the Hey Man L,
right?
Because I don't think they have it in California yet. But she went into the dressing room, and she proceeded to chug six beers.
Damn.
And then try to shoplift. Now, she was busted for shoplifting, but she was not, however, busted for public intoxication. So clearly she didn't get drunk.
They got her on camera? You drinking the beers?
That's what they say. They took it. She grabbed a six-pack, and they caught her. They were Stella's. And then she tried to walk out of the store.
So was she trying to get her confidence up? Why don't you take a shot of whiskey or a shot of vodka?
I don't think they have vodka at Target.
Well, I mean, that's a good point. That's good. Stella, that's a hell of a Target.
Stella Artois.
Let me ask you this. Target. Now, this is not to the same degree, all right? But who hasn't gone in the grocery store? Have you ever gone in the grocery store, not at like Whole Foods where they're, you know, they have food available, but maybe take a grape or two? Try a strawberry. Have you ever done that in the grocery store?
All the time.
So, I mean, here's the deal. She went in, and obviously she tried it, and she didn't want to stop. But the shoplifting part of it is the part. Because I've seen people be in stores, literally take something off the shelf, and start eating, consuming it, or drinking it while they're in the store as they make their way around.
Yes, I hate that. I cannot stand that, by the way.
Guy get a Publix sandwich. He's sitting there, unwraps it.
Yeah.
You know, chewing on that sucker while he's sitting there online. Come on, dude. You can't wait 10 minutes till you get home?
So, anyways, the whole...
So, she's either an alcoholic or just a maniac, sounds like.
Either or.
So, chugging the beers got me thinking, yeah, man, no, man. You still shotgun beers.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah,
every time the boss comes around.
But only at tailgates, though. I will say that. I'm not at home shotgunning a beer. But, Mike, if, for example, we're out here, Terminus Legion's here, we got Esperanza, all these tail great groups, and all of a sudden somebody comes over and goes, you want a shot? You want a beer?
Hey, dude, let's funnel. I'm 50 years old.
Only at a tailgate.
I'll do a shot. By the way, years ago when I was working my first radio job, out in the Hamptons, and I was doing it at a club. And Marty Lyons, who played, I believe, at Alabama, was a member of the New York Sack Exchange.
Yeah.
His last year with the Jets, he comes over, and I'm hosting the crowd. Imagine, like, Jersey Shore, but up in Long Island. Everyone's going bananas. Oh, J-E-T-S, Jets. Marty gets up on stage. He goes, give the microphone. He goes, we're going to win the effing Super Bowl this year. Then takes the beer, slaps it with the can opener, and shotguns it.
Everybody's going crazy.
It goes, of course, Jets didn't. But
They've never done anything.
No, it's Joe Namath. But it was a fun story watching a guy. But, you know, the beer looked like a thimble in his hand. That's how, you know.
I haven't shot gun in a long time. When's the last time you shotgunned, Bo Morgan?
Not too long ago.
But we don't
do it where, I don't know how, to me, shotgunning a beer and chugging are actually a little bit different.
Yeah, they are.
Correct. Chugging, you just pop it in. The shotgun, you pop the key in the side of it.
Boom.
And pop the lid. And
right on.
Pour it from the side.
Talladega's coming up, man. You better start practicing.
Yeah.
Hey.
All right, let's go.
I'm always in the game.
By the way.
Craig, how much time do we got?
Oh, we're done.
That's it. You're on the clock. So what do we learn about? We learned about something about a lady drinking beer in a Target.
Yeah.
And a French fry smelling soap.
And a car that would spray tear gas
on
you.
There you go. That's it. Yeah, man. No, man.
Hey, man. Falcon Report is on the way, guys. We signed two guys. Our offensive line has literally been revamped. What's it mean? We'll talk about it next on Dukes and Bell.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.